so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Hallelujah. I want to talk to you tonight about don't limit God. We began a sermon last Wednesday on don't limit God, and so I got real creative today when I was putting this together, and I came up with the second title, Don't Limit God, Part 2. I had to use up all my creative juices just to get that out, and so hopefully it'll bless you tonight. I want to talk to you about don't limit God. Amen. But if you would, sign up, you know, make sure, you know, it's get you a buddy. Get you a buddy to go. You know, that's always great to get somebody to go with you. Pastor, do you have to come to our church to go? No, you do not. You can go, and even if they don't come to our church, then you can go. Or they can go. But what we need to know and have them signed up. Because we want to, these are the opportunities where you get to know people. Now, the sad part is you get to know people. The great part is you get to know people. Amen. It goes both ways, right? How many knows that, you know, when you got married, you didn't know what you did. When you said I do, you didn't know what you did. All right. Amen. I think everybody knows it by now. Sorry if I announce it. Amen. November, they getting married, y'all. Yeah. Amen. It is November, right? Getting married Thanksgiving Eve because they want to give thanks. Hallelujah. But yeah, they're getting married, and we're excited for them. And we got, I mean, I'm telling y'all, marriage is in the air. Love is in the air. Do-do-do-do-do. The love church. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Amen. Water, that's right. But it's cool. So anyway, you will get to know some incredible people if you get into these focus groups. Well, Pastor, what if I get in there and don't like somebody? Huh? You stick around this church long enough, there's some folks you're not going to like. How do you know? Because there's some people I don't like. They're not here tonight. I mean, come on, 700 people, there's got to be somebody you're really just like, oh, whatever. Not me, because I'm sanctified. I'm just kidding. You see, and I know what the devil's going to do. The devil, he's talking about me. That's what he don't like me. I knew he didn't like me. No, that's your insecurity that don't like you. Amen. So just chill out. Here's the tissue for your issue. Amen. Well, who had the issue? I need that t-shirt. We all got issues. That's right. So here's a tissue for your issues. Yeah, all right. In the book of, where are we going? The book of Proverbs. The book of wisdom. The book of wisdom. Let's see. The fear of man, I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. Why? Because I like the way that it read on this verse. See, let me help some of you. I know some people, they don't go to church here or that I know of, but I know some people go, well, I just believe we need to read out of the King James Version, the one that Jesus used. Yeah. That's not the case. Jesus didn't use that one. Paul did, but not Jesus. So it's before Paul's. No. So, you know, so anyway, so they're all pretty close, all right? But I understand what some people do. I usually preach from the New King James Version because I like its verbiage. If I just want to read without studying, I read the New Living Translation. And then I also, when I'm wanting to get a meaning of a scripture, I will use three or four different versions. And then also look at the Greek or Hebrew word in the original text. And so I like the way the New American Standard Version or Bible said it this way. It said, the fear of God brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. Now, the NIV, which is the nearly inspired version, it says, I'm just kidding, fear of man will prove to be a snare, But whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Now, one is kept safe, one is exalted. And how many knows if you're exalted, then you're safe, right? So it means the same thing. All right, so, Father, we just thank you for this word, this scripture tonight, God. And I just pray that you would bless our time together, that you would give us ears to hear, mind to receive, a heart to receive. And, Lord, let it go past our mind today. God, I pray that let it penetrate our heart. Let it penetrate into our spirit. That, Father, if we have been limiting God, let us take the limits off of God tonight. That we can see him not only in his majesty, not only in his glory, but also in his miraculous, also in his glory. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. Amen. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. There is a lot of people that are struggling with what people, there are two sets of people, those who fear what people think about them, and then the other people who don't give a rip what people think. And you got to be somewhere in the middle of that. All right? You know, I'm about to get ahead of myself. But let me just say this. Fear of man will certainly limit God in our lives. And if left unchecked, fear of man will cost you your divine destiny. Amen. That if you fear God to such an extent that you won't do what God's asked you to do, then it will rob you of your destiny. And many people have been robbed of their destiny, not because of the devil, but because of people. Don't point at them if they're in here, but how many of us have dream killers in our lives? That they will kill the dream before you barely get it out of your mouth. They'll tell you why it can't be done. And they'll tell you, oh, you think you're going to be able to do this. Or they'll put it all back on you. And because of fear of failure or because of fear of what they say or think, then they will shrink back from that original destiny in their life. And so we've got to be careful not to have what I call a man-fearing spirit. And I preached on that a couple of years ago. I may bring it back. But now I want you to catch this. I think it's my first slide. Having no fear for man is not the same as having no respect for men. See, and somewhere we get that confused. Respect and fear, the respect and fear go hand in hand. That I don't have to fear you and still respect you. I can respect you as a person without fearing the consequences of that. There are people in my life that I respect, and because of that respect, case in point, my father-in-law, when I first got married to my wife, my father-in-law, good man, but I respected him, but he's like 4'11", 5', maybe 5'2". I was not afraid of him at whatsoever. You know, he wasn't that big, so I wasn't afraid of him, but I still respected him. And I'll never forget one day, we were at the table, and we were at my table. And so he had a habit of doing something that I didn't like while we were at the table. And finally, at my table, his youngest daughter said something to him about this particular situation. And he looked at her and said to her, "This ain't your house. If Ronnie has a problem with it, he'll tell me." And all eyes went to me. And he said, "What?" I said, "Only because you're my father-in-law have I not said something." He said, "Ronnie, I'm so sorry. I'll never do it again at the table." I said, "Thank you." Now, was I afraid of him? No, but I respected him as my father-in-law, as the father of my wife. And so we've got to understand and learn the difference between the fear of man and the respect of man. You know, some people go, "Oh, you ain't going to disrespect me." They don't have any idea about respect. You know, so having no fear of man is not the same as having no respect for men. We're taught... I don't send me no emails. I don't want to hear it. We should have been, and we should teach our children to respect people in authority. Now, Pastor, that's a Southern thing. It shouldn't be. No. A Southern thing is the yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. And just to let you know, if your children are going to be around me, I'm going to probably still expect it. Especially because now that I'm old. And because it just shows respect, right? It shows respect. We're taught that we to have respect for authorities in our lives. We're taught to have, or we should be taught to have respect for civil authorities. But also we ought to be taught respect for spiritual authorities. Amen? So, you know, and there's just only, you know, there's only one or two of the children in our church that I've had to correct. Because you don't have to call me by my title, but if you 10, you're not going to call me Ronnie. And I go, no, you're not going to call me Ronnie. You're going to call me Pastor Ronnie. But you're not going to call me Ronnie. It's a respect thing, you know? And so, but we have to, that has to be taught. And sometimes we forget, you know, because people go, well, I'm a man like you. Well, yeah, you are. Absolutely you are, you know? But in order to receive respect, you show it first. Amen? All right. So where are we going to go with this, Pastor? I have no idea. I just thought I'd get up here and just throw something together. That's all I had for you all day. Now, 1 Samuel. Let's go to 1 Samuel. Because I want to talk about the fear of people. And I want you to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And we're going to be reading from the verse 23. And again, I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. And here's what it says. For rebellion, oh, there we go, is as the sin of divination. Now, the King James Version says, is the sin of witchcraft. And insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. So I want you to think about this the next time you don't do what the boss asks you to do. Christian. Rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. I used to, you know, before I became a pastor, the two jobs that I had in my adult life, and seriously, was I was an assistant manager of a grocery store in a grocery chain. That was my job from 18 to about almost 20, yeah, 20. And then I became an assistant manager trainee for Wendy's when I moved to Panama City because I met Sherry and I left it all to be with her. And then became the supervisor of Wendy's. And everybody would rib me because I was the boss's favorite. And they would say things like, oh, you're the boss's favorite. You're a brown noser. I go, no, what I am is I make my boss the most money of anybody in this company. And I promise you, if you made him as much money as I make him, you would be his favorite too. And is there any owner or manager that if there was somebody in your company who made you the most money, you'd be like, oh, I really like them. Even if you can't stand them, I really like them. Because that's just cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. And he loved me, man. But the thing is we want to be insubordinate to our bosses, but we've got to have respect for not only civil authority, but for spiritual authority, but also for those who are over us, those who we work for. You know, who you think? We had a youth pastor, not the one we got, but we had a youth pastor who said never to me, because it would have been a bad scene, that I deserve all of the perks and respect that you get because I'm also a bishop. He was in the third rank of the Church of God. I go, dude, you have a job because of me. So, you know, don't worry about it. So anyway, it is as iniquity and adultery. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being king. Oh, wow. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I have indeed transgressed the command of the Lord. I want you to catch this. He already knew what he had done. Samuel didn't even point it out. He goes, yeah, I have sinned. I have indeed transgressed the commandment of the Lord, or the command of the Lord, and I transgressed your word because I feared the people and listened to their voice. Now, the Bible says that wisdom is found in the counsel of many. And so the converse is also true, that also confusion is found in the words of too many. You can't talk to everybody. You got to have some people in your life who speak into your life and take their advice, not just the advice you want to listen to. All right? I'm going to talk a little bit about that Sunday on mentors and talk a little bit about people that God has placed in your life. And then he goes, therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. Now, I want you to think about this. He lost his kingship anointing because of disobedience, because of the fear of man. And Samuel turned to go, and Saul seized the edge of his robe and it tore. And Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to your neighbor who is better than you. Also, the glory of Israel will not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind. Then he said, I have sinned. Now I want you to look at this. I have sinned, but please honor me now before the elders of my people and before Israel, and go back with me that I may worship the Lord your God. I want you to notice, he said, but please honor me, even though I've sinned. I want you to honor me. Even though I didn't do what you asked me to do, I still want your favor and I want your honor. Even though I didn't do my job, I still want my paycheck. Well, come on, somebody. Now, he sinned. He knew he sinned, but he was more concerned about the appearance before the people than his relationship with God. It wasn't, I've transgressed God. No, he said, please return with me so that the people. He was more concerned about the appearance of what he had done with the people than his relationship with God. I pray that we are more concerned with our relationship with God than we are with just people. Amen? Amen? So when your first consideration is what will they think of me, then you've got issues. I'm not saying we shouldn't be mindful of what people will think of us. But if you're a Christian, if you are a child of God, your first thought ought to be, what does God think of me? Because God sees it even when nobody else sees it. What will they say? This is fear of people. No matter what you, if no matter what, you got to impress, you got to look good, you must appear to be more than you are. I've got to appear strong even though I'm not. I've got to appear that I'm together even though I'm not. I can't let people see me out of control. I can't let people see me weak. Then what you realize, or what you don't realize, is if they never see you weak, then they never see you strong. All right? You've got to appear more than what you are. That's the fear of men. So to play the game, I have sinned, but please honor me before the elders and of my people. That's an issue. Fear of man is the unhealthy need to look good in front of man. My Lord Jesus, the fear of man. So what has this got to do with taking the limits off of God? We take the limits off of God when we realize that we cannot let people, that we cannot fear what people think more than we fear what God thinks. We cannot allow what people think to affect us more than what God. Because fear of man causes you to be more concerned with looking good than being good. Come on now. Fear of man causes you to be more concerned with looking good than with being good. You know, here's what I used to say. I still kind of think this, but it goes along this line. I said, I don't care if I weigh 300 pounds as long as I look like I weigh 2. Right? Is that the truth? You know, and apparently you can do that if you wear them man girdles. I don't know. I don't know, you know. Pastor John said it works pretty good. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I couldn't find one in Extra Grande. But anyway. But here's the problem. When you fear men, you begin to believe that your promotion and your position comes and is sustained by God. And then you have, again, fear of man. But let me tell you something. If man talked you into it, man can talk you out of it. If man placed you somewhere, man can take you out of that place. If man blessed you, then man can take the blessing away from you. But when God promotes you, nobody can pull you down. When God puts you in a place, nobody can bring you out. And when God blesses you, no man can curse you. Nobody can curse you because you're dealing with great God Jehovah. So we've got to understand that. That if God is my everything, if I am more concerned about God, God's going to take care of me. If I would have been concerned with what people were saying about me at my job, I might have shunned the boss. Because I don't want people to think I'm his favorite. I knew I was his favorite. And not because I tried, just because I tried to do my job. And because the fact that and it sounds arrogant, and those of you who don't know me don't, you know, I'm not. But the reality is I was good at my job and I did a good job. And therefore I did make more money than anybody else in the company. And so therefore I knew that. But if I would have taken what people said, it could have put a wedge between me and him. Let me tell you something. The first person, now this guy didn't go to church, didn't really believe, he believed in God, but didn't go to church. But it was him who one day gave me a bonus. We were out there talking, and he said something about, anyway, the Bible on cassette. That's a long time ago. There used to be these things called cassettes. Before CDs. And before the cassette, there was stone. No, there were 8-tracks. Y'all don't know about no 8-track. But anyway, so he bought me the whole Bible on cassette because he just liked me that much. I remember working one day, and I didn't do it. I didn't even know he was going to be there. But I stayed there all night to roll out this new thing that we were doing. And he said, Ronnie, I really appreciate you being here all night. You know, I didn't expect that. I go, I know, but, you know, this is my store, and I wanted it to go correctly and blah, 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 blah. And this was, you know, you're talking about 30 years ago almost, and he pulls out $150 and said, well, listen, take your wife somewhere nice on me. I said, thank you, man. I appreciate that. And this was just happened all the time, that he would just bless me because I was a blessing to him, right? So if I would have been more concerned with looking good in front of people, then I would have shunned back. Can I tell you that some of you, my God, have mercy. Hey, hey, hey. Getting high up in there. Come here, Jesse. I know you hate getting up, but come on. Just stay with me because I need you right here. Just stay right here because I don't want the people to get upset. But the problem with some of you is you're so concerned of what people are going to say about you that you treat your spouse a certain way in public and you wonder why you got problems. Well, I ain't going to be henpecked. Hey, it's okay to be henpecked if you love the hen that's doing the pecking. But you ever get around guys that want to, you know, want to flex their muscles and kind of talk smack? And then they get in, then they get behind closed doors and the wife smacks them. You can't do that kind of stuff, man. I'm more concerned with looking good for my wife in public than I am about you, because I'm going home with her. She's going to cook me breakfast at some times, and I'm concerned what she's going to put in it. Y'all don't know. All right? So let me show you the difference. Point number two is this. Let me show you the difference. Two kings, two sinners, two different attitudes. What Samuel confronted, or when Samuel confronted Saul, his concern was with his reputation. But when Nathan confronted David, his concern was his relationship with God. When, you know, those of you who don't know the Bible, Samuel confronted Saul because Saul, the Bible said that the Lord, a word came from Samuel that said, when you go in here to the Amalekites, kill everybody. They said, don't keep nothing. Kill everybody and everything. But when they got there, they go, man, we're going to, here's some good cows. Why are we going to kill the cow? What did the cow do? Why we got to kill the cow? I like steak. Why we got to kill the cow? Can't we milk the cow? Why we got to kill the cow? What about the lambs? Why we got to kill? Man, there's some good stuff. Why we got to kill them? But the Bible was clear. If you put a mirror in front of their nose and it fogs, kill them. And they, so they left the best of everything and they left the king. And then you heard what Saul did. He, when he got before the person of authority, he blamed it on the people. He said, I wanted to do it, but the people wanted me to do something different. Everybody's going to want you to do something different. That's why you got to do what's right. That's why you got to make up your mind what is right before the people ever get there. You don't try to decide what is right in the middle of a crisis. You learn. You know what's right before, all right? But then when Nathan, now think about this. Here are two extremes. Saul's problem was he disobeyed the voice of the prophet. Samuel, or David, went and slept with somebody. But he was still more concerned with his relationship with God, no matter what people think. I'm more concerned about with God. That's why God could say that he was a man after his own heart. Because he had a relationship with God. Am I making sense to you? Here, Proverbs 51:11. Do not cast me away from thy presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me, is what David prayed when he was confronted by Nathan. David danced before men. He cried before men. He fasted before men. He celebrated with men. He laughed and sang before men. What does that say, Pastor? It meant that he was more concerned with his relationship with God, and the guys, he was just one of the guys. It didn't matter. He was just going to do whatever God called him and told him to do. All right? David had always been willing to look foolish in the eyes of men. He cared not for his reputation, but he treasured his reputation. He treasured his relationship with God. Man, if I've got to choose with my reputation or my relationship, I'm going to choose relationship every time. Now listen to me. I'm not saying your reputation is not important. But if you got to choose a reputation or relationship, I'm choosing relationship. Whether that be with my wife or whatever. I'm friends with people that they go, why are you friends with them? Don't you know that? I said, it doesn't matter. I have a relationship with them. And the Bible says a friend is a friend at all times. All right? I'm a friend even when I don't agree with them. But everybody needs a friend who will get in there and fight with you in the pit and fight you out of a bad attitude. Yeah, baby. So, fear of men is a pursuit of the approval of men, based in insecurity or fear seeking its own benefit. Listen, I'm going to tell you something right now, folks. And really it's for you ladies. I'm going to tell you something that I guarantee you is going to get me kicked out of the He Men Woman Haters Club of America. I'm going to get kicked out right here. Men's egos are very fragile. Yeah, you can say what you want to. Our egos are very fragile. And see, what sometimes women fail to forget, it goes all the way back to cave times. When we fight, if you ain't careful, we like picking up stuff. That's why, you know, you ever been in a fight? Man, you'll fight fair till you start losing. Hey, hold up, I'm losing. I got to pick something up. Pick up an attitude adjuster, pick up a rock or something, right? Because you're going to win. It's because of our ego, right? And so we've got to understand that we really want the pursuit, or we really want the approval of other people, but truly what we really want is the approval of our spouse. I don't, you know, I thank some of you, you know, I know I had it like once, 6 months ago, one of you came and said, man, you know, that was a good message. And that really encourages. No, y'all do that a lot more. So I'm just kidding. But that encourages me. What makes me beam? What makes me like, you know, flex? It's when my wife says, "Baby, that was a good word." And I'm like, "You sound surprised. Why you sound surprised?" even a blind squirrel gets a nut every once in a while. Come on, yeah, come on. But that's what I'm saying, because I want her approval. All right? And let me tell you something, guys. Women are the same. They want our approval. And so listen to me. You know, and we try to model this, my wife and I. Don't you tell my wife she looks good if you married and you ain't told your wife she looks good. Right? You know, don't tell somebody else they look good unless you've been telling your wife they look good. And don't be like, "I wish you could be more like them." No, 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 because you're going to wake up with a knife in your skull. I'm trying to help somebody. Yeah, baby. This fear of man okay. I wasn't ready to go there, but if you want me to go there, I will. Matter of fact, I got like three other points before then, but so no, I'm just messing with you. I'm not messing with you. I do have a couple other things I want to say first. The fear of man, the pursuit of approval of men, it is manifest in people who play church. That we want people to think we saved. But when our Facebook and Instagram proves we ain't. But anyway. preach. This goes with ministers playing politics. Playing politics to get what they want. You know, I told the overseer of the state of Florida, which is over the whole state. And I've told him when I go, I said, I'm a horrible politician. Because I'm not one. I said, "Bishop, because I'm on his council." And I said, "You know, I will resign if you don't want me. If you want people to say yes, I'm not one of them." I said, "Because you know, I'm gonna speak up because I don't even know what I'm thinking until sometimes I say it." You know what I'm saying? All right. People seeking to cozy up to this one and cozy up to that one, not to be a blessing, but seeking to be promoted to get attention that they crave or to get a blessing from someone else. Kind of reminds me of the two old boys that was out fishing. Old farmers. He goes, "Hey, buddy. Man, if you had two horses, would you give me one?" He said, "Man, we best friends. You know I'd give you one. If I had two horses, man, I'd share it with you, bro. Man, if you had two cows, would you give me one?" "Man, what did I just say? We best friends. We've been raised up together all our lives. You know I'd give you a horse or a cow if I had two of them. Buddy, would you give me a pig if you had two?" "No, wait a minute. You know I got two pigs." Right? I mean, sometimes we want to get close to people because we know what they got. And maybe if they like us, they'll give us a little bit of what they have. And that might not be materialistic. That might be power, that might be prestige, that might be on stage, whatever it is, whatever that person craves. That's why we've got to be careful that make sure that our pursuit of friendships and everything else is the right pursuit. So that we don't fall into this being fear of men. Because once you fall into fear of men, it will limit what God can do in your life. Because you're looking to man to promote you. You're looking to man to bless you instead of God. You know, Jesse Duplantis said this one day, and I thought it was so funny, that he said, his daughter come to him and said, "Daddy, we was in service tonight, and the Lord told me to give $250. And he said he was going to bless me. He goes, "Well, baby, that's wonderful. Why are you telling me?" He said, "Because usually God uses you to bless me." Right? But that's what we do, right? All right, God, here I am. You know, hey God, I just did this, you know, I just did this over here, Lord. But if we got somebody who God usually blesses us with, if you're not careful, you'll seek the approval of those people or that thing in order to get what you want. And that's called manipulation. And manipulation is witchcraft. Good preaching, Pastor. Constantly telling everyone who will listen who you are and what you've done is also fear of man. I like what this one guy said. He's a fighter pilot. He goes, do you know how to tell when there's a fighter pilot in the room? I said, no. He said, he'll tell you. And isn't that so true? I mean, I'm not going to call them friends, but I've got some acquaintances. Son, they'll drop a name everywhere they go. You know what I'm saying? Just every time they talk, it's dropping a name, telling you who they are, what they're about, what they've done. And so one day I was talking with one of them, he does it all the time, and he dropped that name, and I took my pen, I threw it out. I go, "Oh, here, you dropped that name. Let me get that for you." Because it comes, and I don't know if you caught that one slide we had back. It stems from their own insecurity. That I've got to be able to say I'm important. I mean, how much more important do you want to be? Jesus died for you. How much more important do you want to be? Let me give you some scripture. Psalm 75, verse 5. It says, "Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with insolent pride. For not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the desert comes exaltation, but God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another." Now again, the CEV version, which is the common English version, says, "Stop bragging. Quit telling me how great you are. Our God and our Lord and our God, victory doesn't come from the east or the west or from the desert. You are the one who judges. You can take away power and give it to others." Now, I'm going to borrow a term that I'm going to use Sunday, but you cannot be pitiful and powerful at the same time. And let me go one step further. You cannot poor mouth and brag at the same time. "I'll tell you what, I ain't got nothing. Let me tell you about my Jaguar." You can't do it. I remember one time my wife and I, we'd only been married, I don't exactly remember. I know it was the first 4 years because of the house that we lived in. And she said one day, she goes, "I'm telling you, I don't have nothing to wear." I go, "What?" I started walking back there. I said, "Come on in." No, baby. "Oh, it's okay. I know. And I counted 36 dresses that she had. I said, "You ain't got nothing to wear?" Now, what I found out 9 months later, not pregnant, 9 months later, I found out, she told me, she said, "You know why I really didn't want you to go back there?" She said, "Why?" She said, "Because I had a new dress back there I hadn't worn yet." Uh-huh. "All right, let me help some of you women." And she goes, I said, "Well, why would you keep it there?" She said, "Because then when I bring it out and you go, 'Is that new?' You go, 'No, I've had it for months.'" "This old thing?" Yeah. "Bite the apple. Here you go. There you go. You're thinking. John chapter 12. Write it down. Nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, and for they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. Fear of man won't stop you from believing in Jesus, but it will stop you from following Jesus. You know, listen to me. You know, our church is at a size, and I give God praise for that. And I would rather have the problems of growth than the problems of stagnation. But especially Sunday morning, and even tonight, you know, there are people who can slip in on the back or the side or whatever. They can slip in before service and stay, and then slip out before, and so they ain't got to talk to nobody. So they're kind of mixed into the crowd. They're kind of lost in the crowd. And some people like that because some people don't. They don't want some people to know that they come to this crazy church because y'all crazy. Not the pastor, but y'all are. You know. I know where you get it from, but anyway, you get it from Pastor Steve and Pastor Cash and Jessica and her wild self. But when individuals are ruled by the fear of men, they shrink back from their own convictions and their own conscience. They don't do or say because they're afraid of what people might say. Listen, when was the last time that you're afraid to worship God because you're afraid everybody's looking at you? Nobody's looking at you. Everybody's looking at Vicky. And those of us who have been here long enough, we don't even see Vicky no more. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? I mean, people, you know, that is not one of Vicky's problems. I'm afraid people are going to see me. Well, of course they're going to see you. That's not her problem. But some of us do that. You know, you're wanting to worship the Lord. Throw a little leg in there. Because you're afraid. You know, just forget about people and just worship God. Just worship God. Amen. Amen, amen. All right, so we see from this verse, and perhaps from our own experiences and observations, that peer pressure doesn't simply affect teenagers. Oh, that's right, that happens in school. No, it doesn't. It happens on the job. You get around everybody and everybody's talking about the boss. You know, you might as well join in. And the next thing you know, you're leading the charge and you really like the guy or the gal. Right? But you just want to be accepted. Yeah, I hate this job too. You lying. If we are to overcome, or if we are overcome by the fear of man's opinion, it's probably because that we've magnified man and minimized God in our thinking. We've got to maximize God and minimize man. Now, here comes a problem. I don't know if I have this. I don't know. Let me go. I think I do down. Let me just move on before I get bogged down in that. Proverbs 29, I remember our text. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts the Lord will be exalted. Point number three is this. Fear of man will trap you in an unending cycle of appeasement. That man, if you get to the point where all you're doing is trying to please man, then you're going to be a man pleaser the rest of your life. And all you're going to think about is just trying to please man. You know, that reminds me of a couple who was having some marital issues and the wife just really tried to please the husband. But how many know, don't point at them, how many know people that you just cannot please them? So she got up this one morning, she goes, baby, what you want for breakfast? He said, I want two eggs. I want one scrambled and one fried. So she went and she fried one egg, she scrambled one egg, she brought him to him, and he goes, ah! She said, "What's wrong?" He said, "You fried the wrong one." So some people, man, some people you just got to get over, right? Some people you ain't going to please, and you just got to get over that. So to constantly make people happy, listen to me. If that's what your plan is if I just constantly make people happy, it's exhausting. It's exhausting to constantly make people happy. Now, the problem with preaching a message like this is that especially Pentecostals are people of extreme. So the pendulum will swing of you trying to please everybody that you ain't trying to please nobody. And that's not what I'm preaching. You know, I don't care what anybody else said. Bless God. No, that's rebellion. You know, bless God, God told me, and I don't care what the Lord. No, that's rebellion. Especially if you in the house where there's an authority. All right? You know, some of you may have forgotten it, but, you know, and if you're watching, I apologize. I don't remember your name, or I would call it. But there was a visitors came with some other folks that sit right there on the front row, and she brought her own tambourine. But we don't do that in this church. You know, if you want to play the tambourine, you got to join the band. Am I right? And she came there and she was playing the tambourine, and I'll come there, and it wasn't nobody worshiping. Everybody was looking at me. I came out of the thing. I was like, who's playing a tambourine up in here? So I stood there. Oh, it's her. And all eyes was on me. Worship team wasn't even worshiping. They just looked at me. Oh, we bring praise unto God. Yeah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. What's he going to do? So the person who brought him goes, she comes over to me. She goes, Pastor, I brought him. Do you want me to ask her to quit? I go, yeah, I do. So she asked her, and so sure enough, you know, she put it down. And just worshiping the Lord. And then it rose up in her. She went, started playing that tambourine again. So then it rose up in me too. And it was a spirit. I ain't sure if it was the Holy Spirit. But it was a spirit that rose up in me. And then the lady come around, she goes, Pastor, I'm sorry. I told her to do it. She said she's gonna obey God. I go, that's okay. I'm about to handle it. So I walked over to her very gently. I even put my arm around her. I probably shouldn't have done that, but you know, I thought I could. Put my arm around her and said, listen, sis, I'm the senior pastor here at the church. And I'm going to ask you not to play that tambourine. Well, the Lord says, make a joyful noise. I go, yeah, but your noise is messing up the other noise. I said, now, you're more than welcome to clap your hands. I said, but, you know, the band practices. I know some weeks it don't seem like it, but they do. I'm just kidding. Because I'm part of the band. But anyway, I said, they practice. And I'm going to ask you not to do that. Well, the Lord says, make a joyful noise. I said, I understand that. Well, I think, you know, she said, I respect you as a pastor, but I think you're wrong. I said, and that's okay. And when we get to heaven, I will stand before God for telling you to put your tambourine away. But you're not going to play that tambourine in here. Okay. So, you know, that was good, right? That was good. So I thought. Everything was good. We had a good worship service. And then I got up here to preach, and she was sitting on the front row. She just looked at me. She grabbed that tambourine, and she started walking out the door. She got to the back of the door, and, you know, again, you got to be religious to understand this. She got to the back door and went. She's dusting her feet off. She's dusting her feet off, so we didn't receive her. Yeah. And so I told Rodney, go get the vacuum cleaner. Just vacuum that stuff up and take it on out, too. Huh? Now, you tell me. See, that's not what I'm advocating. In every house, there is an authority. And if you don't submit to the authority, you're limiting God in your life. In every business, if you don't honor the authority, then I'm not talking about them telling you to do something that is sin. All right? You got to make some hard choices when they want you to do something that is sin. But when they want you to do something that ain't sin and ain't, then you need to obey, or, you know, you need to comply. Because you're not going to make, you know, let me tell you something. I've been doing this now 20-something years, 24, 27 years now. And I've learned you can't please everybody. So realizing that I can't please everybody, I might as well just try to please God. Right? And you know what? Usually if you try to please God and I try to please God and the person next to you please God, God doesn't have different plans for stuff. He kind of goes together and we begin to please God together and we look like one unity, worshiping in the spirit and in truth. And when that happens, the holy power of God can come down in a place and begin to saturate lives and turn people around and turn things around because we have the power and the spirit of unity working in our church. Can you say amen? All right, so how will I make it? You know, come on, help me shut up. To constantly make people happy is exhausting. However, if they don't like me, here's what people say: if they don't like me, they might leave me, and I can't live if they leave me. So I must make them happy. How will I make it without him or her, them? But, everybody say, but. There's an escape hatch. The last part of 25. But he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. He who trusts in the Lord as opposing to fear of man will be exalted. In the Greek, it refers to raising walls. The greater level of trust, the higher your walls. It also refers to person's advancement or promotion, setting them on high. Only God can make a fatherless man the father of nations. Hallelujah. Only God can take a daydreamer from the pit to the palace. Only God can take a stuttering outcast and make him the lawgiver of Israel. Only God can make a shepherd a king. Only God can make the valiant warrior. Only God can take a baby in a manger and cause him to be the high Lord of all in Jesus' name. If man gives it to you, man can take it from you. It's not yours. But if God gives it to you, it's yours, because he said the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. When we reverence God properly in our lives, realize that his opinion is the one that ultimately matters. Listen to me. God is not going to tell you to do something that is not in his word. That's how you judge it. He's not going to tell you to do something that's going to cause division. You know, I was preaching in a church one time, and another church, and I'm Pentecostal, I'm demonstrative, I speak in tongues, and I was getting excited, and I started to speak in tongues, and I went, "Hey, you all glory!" And so one of our guys was with me, and he was on the front row, and I just kind of whispered to him, I took the mic away, and I said, "Do they speak in tongues?" And the pastor must have heard me. He said, "Yeah, we speak in tongues." So then I said, "Ah, you cut it out." Started speaking in tongues. Well, bless God, if you're a Pentecostal, you ought to speak it. No, the authority of the house. You know, do you know I play piano? I play drums, I play bass. I play trombone, I play baritone. I play the radio. Organ, a few other things. But when I go to another church, I don't take my instrument. Right? You see how ridiculous that seems? So when I'm at another church, I'm going to act accordingly. Well, that's, you're being a hypocrite. No, I'm being respectful. I love what one guy did over here. It was a Sunday morning, and I don't know, I was preaching, and you know, sometimes I'll walk the chairs. I was making some type of thing, I don't know. And there was a girl over there that hadn't been to church. She goes, "I just feel like I want to go to the altar, but I'm not sure if it's appropriate." And the guy who's been raised in our church, he goes, "The pastor just walked on the chairs. I think it's appropriate for us to go to the altar." Right? God said, "I'll never fail you. I will never abandon you. So you can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. So I will have no fear. What can people do to me?" Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. This is the type of confidence that every child and every servant of God should have. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. What can men do to me? God is my Savior. So let's take the limits off of God tonight. God, let's take the limits off of Him. What have you been limiting God because of what people think? What have you been limiting God because of what people may think about you? Maybe you've been caring more about what people think instead of what God thinks. That's the main thing that we need to understand. God's opinion matters more than anybody else's opinion. Come on, stand to your feet. I know it's time. I'm supposed to be done. Come on, would you just for a moment lift up your hand if you're... Lord, we come before you tonight. Lord, we ask you for your help. And you said that you would never turn away a contrite spirit. One who is asking for help in true submission, Lord, you said you would never turn us away. And I pray tonight, God, that maybe there are those here tonight who just need you to touch them, who just needs a touch from your hand. Lord, tonight we take the limits off of you. Because, Lord, we understand that if we limit you, we're limiting ourselves, because everything that we do resides in you. Everything that we hope resides in you. You are our help. You are our hope. You are our victory. So, Lord, help me to take inventory in my own life. Have I been more concerned with my reputation than my relationship? Whether that be with you or even other people that whom love me and who I love. Lord, I give you glory and I give you praise. I give you honor.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.